your baby boy. One day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy would come a stone with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Oh Mary, did you know?
Well, of course, that's a very popular, well-known hymn, especially sung, of course, during this time of year as we're considering the incarnation of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we think about that incarnation, we, of course, talk a lot about that opening statements that are made in the Gospels, especially in Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel, about speaking about the birth of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, with that as a backdrop, I wanted to discuss on the broadcast here today an article that appeared not that long ago, and the article was talking about Warren Buffett and his family's secretly funded a birth control revolution. So here we are talking about the birth of Christ, and yet in our society today, we see that there are these massive efforts underway to prevent the birth of children in our world today, a birth control revolution that has taken place. The subtitle of this article, and this one appears out on Bloomberg's Business Report, the subtitle says this: in the past decade, the Susan Thompson Buffett Foundation has become the most influential supporter of research on IUDs and expanding access to the contraceptive. And the article then goes on to describe just how much money there is involved in this particular contraception, but also the way that they are really pushing this as an option for women trying to prevent conception and so forth. I wanted to talk about this on the program today, especially with the backdrop of thinking about the coming of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and about his birth. I just thought that this would be a great subject for us to discuss on the program today. And who better to discuss that with than Dr. Joseph Francis? Dr. Francis is the chairperson of the Department of Biological and Physical Sciences and the Department of Mathematics. He's also a professor of biological sciences at the Masters College. Their website is masters.edu. That's www.masters.edu. Dr. Francis, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Well, Dr. Francis, not only with this article, but another one that appeared in Time magazine as well, we find them talking about birth control, especially the IUDs, and really pushing these things hard trying to make them more and more popular in our society today. What are your thoughts, initial thoughts on the idea of this, and maybe with that backdrop that we're talking about, you know, Mary, did you know, do women know what is actually taking place when they buy into this particular technology?
Yes, it is a interesting and important subject. As a Christian educator at the college level, teaching biology, of course, we talk about all kinds of life, God's amazing creation, and of course, the human body and relationship in marriage. And I think that's where we have to start. We have to base this whole subject on the foundation of marriage and the purity of of marriage and what's right for the Christian believer. You know, we can influence our society on this issue too, but first we should talk about this because I'm educating Christian students, and what I find is there's not a really good time for parents to talk to their children about this topic. You know, it'd be difficult to have a Sunday school class on this topic and what age is appropriate. But I find that college students is a good age. They've left home, and so there again, parents have not had much opportunity to talk to them about this. They're going to college, and so we talk about this in the biology class, starting with the issue of marriage and its purity, and then we look at this idea of Christian family planning. And sometimes I really cringe at those words because the secular world has taken those words and they've applied it to, let's say, certain organizations like Planned Parenthood and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Christian context, there's nothing wrong with thinking about the children that God will bless us with. And I think that's another place to start. The Bible talks about children being a blessing. So we have two things, the sanctity of marriage here, the importance of marriage and the purity and the beauty of the marriage bed, and then the blessing of children. And as Protestants, though, we also believe that we can take some steps to plan when those children will come. And but then I find that there's a lot of confusion because of all the different kinds of ways that we can prevent pregnancy. And we can probably classify them into different groups. One grouping would be those methods that act preconception and those that act postconception.
Mm-hmm.
And as believers, conception is an important point in time. It's mentioned scripturally, and I'd like to get into that a little bit in the program because it goes right back to the Christmas story and the beauty of that story also. Then we have methods that are kind of in the middle. We don't know how they work.
Mm-hmm.
And there should be caution there. If there's an opportunity for one of these techniques to have post-conception action, should we even go there? And again, I don't want to make this sound so cold and medical because, again, we don't want to miss the fact that this is about the beauty of marriage and the blessing of children. So we'll start there with those two principles and move on from there.
Well, excellent. Let's do that. Let's talk about conception from a biblical standpoint. Coming into my mind, of course, is the sanctity of life that we talk about, and specifically the sixth commandment, you know, thou shalt not kill. And so, of course, it forbids the taking of human life. And human life, we say, begins at conception. So let's talk about that subject right there.
Oh, absolutely. And there's some really awesome, incredible things here to look at in the scripture. I go right back to the scripture in the biology class on this when we talk about the importance of conception. And what we'll see is modern biological science has never really wavered from this idea that conception is important. But if we go to Luke 1, and this is where I go in the class on this subject, because Luke was a physician, and he was a man of detail. And if you look at the story of Mary and Elizabeth, one of the questions would be, we know today because of our microscopes that when a sperm and an egg come together and produce the fertilized egg, the new baby, which is, again, one of the most remarkable things we know about in biology, that two cells that have no life on their own come together to make this individual, which begins development almost immediately and signals the mother that it's there. That has been part of biology. We can see it under a microscope. So the question is that what the Bible's talking about when it says conception? Well, here's the beauty of Luke 1. Luke says that the angel declared to Mary that she would conceive a child in her womb. And then he talks about Elizabeth. And then Mary goes, and Elizabeth's in her sixth month, and Mary goes to visit in her sixth month. This is incredible because it's all detailed out. And then, if you remember the story, it says Mary stays with Elizabeth 3 months and leaves, and then John the Baptist is born.
Mm.
what's incredible is the 9 months are there. The angel talks about it talks about conception. 9 months go by. So a lot of people have said, well, maybe conception is later. Maybe we don't have a baby until the heart's beating. Maybe we don't have a baby until there's the brain development. Maybe we don't have a baby until it's breathing. Maybe those are conception points. Well, biological science and the Bible are together on this. There's a special event that happens 9 months before birth, and we find in modern biological science that that point is called conception, where two pieces of DNA come together from the sperm and the egg and make a whole person. Now, here's what's interesting. If you go back to, I have an embryology text on my shelf from the 1970s, a secular text, and this is what the author says. He says, the beginning of the life of an individual begins at conception for the following two reasons. Number one, the diploid condition is restored. Now, what does he mean by that? Diploid, di means two, diploid, and that means two sets of chromosomes come together. All humans living today have two sets of chromosomes, one from their mother and one from their father. That's called diploid. There is no person that has half. We do have some individuals that have maybe one extra chromosome or missing one chromosome, and they are alive. But they all have two sets of chromosomes. That defines the human condition. That only happens at that moment of conception. And then he said the second point is gender is determined. Well, when the two sets of chromosomes come together, that's the only time in which we know genetically that we have a boy or a girl. That's the first time, I should say. That's the first unique time. This is in a modern biological textbook, and he says it very carefully. He's not saying that life begins here. Life has been in a continuum, as the Bible talks about. But he says the life of an individual begins here. This is the only point in time where we have the restoration of full humanity at the genetic level, and it's the only point in time where we have gender determined. And that's a whole other subject. You know, we are determined genetically to be male, female there, and there's no changing after that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really quite beautiful, and it's in the biological textbooks, and it has never changed.
Mm.
Now, in medicine, there's a little bit of confusion because women are often treated after, let's say, rape and those unfortunate, horrible things with things that will stop their pregnancy. And so in medicine, sometimes they will muddy the waters and say you're not pregnant until the baby implants. There's no conception until that baby implants. Implantation, when the baby attaches to the mom, comes after conception fertilization. So I tell my students, we're going to say conception fertilization because the biological evidence is there and the biblical evidence. And let me add one more thing that's special about the Christmas story while we're in Luke.
Mm-hmm.
What's fascinating to me is who tells Mary she will conceive? It's the angel.
Mm-hmm.
This is coming. This idea of conception is not man-made. This is coming from God's messenger who said, you will conceive in your womb. And as we look in biblically through the Old Testament, even Hosea, it says there's a man will know his wife. There'll be conception, development, and birth. And we find that order in Scripture, conception, development, and birth. And here's the angel saying, this is God ordained that Jesus has begun his earthly life at conception. I find that quite amazing and really quite beautiful.
Amen. So to just summarize, when we're thinking about some sort of contraceptive, it prevents conception. So if it is preconception, then it is acceptable for a Christian to use that method of birth control. What's being prevented is potential life. We're not actually taking away from actual life. But if it is post-conception, then even if it's pre-implantation, if it's post-conception, it is forbidden. It's sin, and it is actually taking of a human life. Is that a fair summary?
Yes, and I would say it again, that consistent with biological science, it's never changed, even though in medical practice they're using new terminology. in biological books has never changed, that that time where the sperm and egg come together, that is conception. And yes, and yes, that's where we start. We say that those family planning preconception is permissible, but I always go back with my students and say, remember, this is in the context of marriage, and there's a sanctity of marriage. Mm-hmm. There should be discussion and agreement with each spouse. And then there's a sanctity of family.
Yes.
That there's children, other children involved, and all those things should take place. But then I always go back to Psalm 127 and say, remember, there's this blessing that's going to be there.
Yes.
And so, yes. But if we get into, but then where the muddy, waters get a little bit muddy is something like the IUD, and we can probably talk about that next, because
yes,
that and several other methods may have post-conception actions. And what's concerning to me is this is being pushed even to test on young teenagers is what I'm finding. I'm still trying to find out exactly how they're going to do this. And then Warren Buffett group is very influential. As you know, he's supporting the Democratic candidate. So this is all coming into play in our presidential election. And there's a lot of money supporting this method called the IUD, and we can talk about that next.
Yeah, I wanted to. Obviously, there's political ramifications here as well, and speaking to that whole cultural issue that was introduced in not in just this cycle, political cycle, but most recently throughout the last decade or so, the idea of war on women, or the war on women, if we find that women are being their life is being taken right in the womb through these methods, obviously that would be the ultimate war on women taking place. But let me ask you, now that we concluded that preconception, contraception would be acceptable, I use the word acceptable there because of all of those other nuances that you built in. You know, we got to think about the blessing of children and the sanctity of the family and so forth need to be built into that. So I say acceptable. But then the post-conception is forbidden, it's sinful, and it's the taking of human life. Where then does the IUD fall? Is it a pre-conception option, or is it a post-conception option?
Yes, and this is where it gets kind of, the whole thing gets kind of muddy. It's hard to find groups that will describe exactly what happens, even in the medical literature. I do want to mention a medical study in a minute. But first of all, the IUD is usually a piece of metal or plastic inserted into the woman's body. The first indications were that they didn't know how it worked. That in it's just in the way.
Mm.
It's just then. Some sites would say, and some sites say, there's continual scraping of tissue and causes a little bit of inflammation. So it just creates a hostile environment for conception to can take place. So it does appear to have preconception actions. Now, here's where it gets interesting. You go to some of these medical websites, and they have doctors, and they say they're medical, and you got to watch some of these places, because they're going to be swayed by political groups or the pro-choice movement. And one site I was looking at said, oh, the inflammation thing's all wrong. It's just the medicines that are placed on this plastic or metal that come off prevent conception. But I found an article in the Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology and written by doctors, published peer-reviewed. And they basically say this, that they use the term fertilization, which is interesting. I like that term. They say the IUD has pre-fertilization actions and post-fertilization actions, making the womb in the post-fertilization actions, it makes the womb inhospitable for life or implantation, meaning that conception can take place. The other proof of this is they use it as emergency contraception. If a woman has been pregnant and violated in that way to become pregnant, they'll use it in an emergency way, meaning that they know it can stop pregnancy after conception. Now, there's all sorts of devices and of models of this. Now, let me give you another concern that I have. Back in the 1970s, there was one called the Dalton Shield that actually perforated women's bodies. It caused death, inflammation. It caused sterility. It was sued off the market. And if you look at Wikipedia and other places that describe the IUD, they kind of gloss over that. They say, oh, this caused some problems. Well, the problems were huge. The company was sued out of existence. And these same methods are being used. Now, apparently, these are safer. So what's the attraction? The attraction is it's low maintenance. It's placed in the body and basically forgotten about. You don't have to take a pill. You don't have to do all these kinds of tests every day. It's convenient. And we've heard that term before.
Yes.
Francis Schaeffer used to use it with abortion. Abortion is convenient. It makes our lives convenient because we can get rid of a problem. So here we are preventing pregnancy. And so I have real concerns for the Christian using a method that that has actions that could take place pre or post conception or are actually unknown. Some physicians will say we still don't know exactly how this thing works. That's a real concern. And then for the Christian family planning topic, I would say it's not permissible. I would say extreme caution should be due. Just don't use it or find a pro-life doctor who will find a way that it can be used. But I'm concerned about it. And then, but my other concern is how this is being sold to the public. If this is going to be tested on what appear to be young age girls, I'm concerned about their health. And that's another interesting thing we can bring up here in the pro-choice movement. They talk about, conservatives aren't concerned about women's health. Well, what about this method that has a really sordid past with respect to women's health? So I just wanted to get the word out on this because it appears to be more and more accepted today that this is an option and an option for believers. And I would just use extreme caution and certainly have a gynecologist that is pro-life and do the reading and research on this method. And if we believe life begins at conception, which I believe is strongly held in evangelicalism, in conservative evangelicalism today, and if biological science confirms that, then I think this method is very suspect and worrisome.
Well, we started the broadcast by talking about Mary Did You Know, and Mary we're kind of using as just a young girl, saying, the young teenager, do you know what this is actually doing? Can you imagine if you're a Christian young girl and you're pro-life in your view to find out then that you're actually taking human life because of this methodology of the IUD? That would just be devastating to find out that news, that you've actually been involved in the taking of human life when you thought that this was a legitimate method. Dr. Francis, one minute left in the broadcast. Your final comments to folks listening that may already be using this method, may already be considering this. What would be your final word?
My final word would be Christians should do their homework. If anyone should check on a medical technique, it should be us because we believe that the sanctity of life comes from God. He's the owner of life. He gives life, and we have no right to take it. Yes, we can do Christian family planning, but remember the angel told Mary that she conceived. This blessed event is scriptural. And we should rejoice that Mary went through with this pregnancy with all the issues surrounding her and gave beautiful words back to the Lord about this as she praised him for this. And just remember the blessing of children, Psalm 127. Even the hardest cases we think are so difficult, but when those children come, what a beautiful thing it is. And so I pray for those who are facing a crisis pregnancy today to look into the Word and trust the Lord and find help for their case.
Amen. Amen. And obviously we have today adoption is such a viable option. There are many, many families that are unable to have children that would just long to take care of a child and welcome a child into their home. So if there was a what referred to as an unwanted pregnancy, there is a good solution to that other than the taking of the life of the child or any of these types of things offered to us by the world. Dr. Francis, thank you so much for talking about this issue with us today on the program. We really appreciate your insight. We really appreciate the work that you do there at the Master's College and the Master's College work in general.
Thank you so much, and Christmas greetings in this wonderful season back to you. Thank you.
Amen. Merry Christmas to you as well. That was Dr. Joe Francis, as I mentioned at the top of the broadcast. He's the chairperson of the Department of Biological and Physical Sciences and the Department of Mathematics. He's a professor of biological sciences as well, and he does all that at the Master's College. You can find out more about the Master's College by going online. They have a really good website, gives you all the information you need. It's www.masters.edu. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.